Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
As we kicked off our conversation in this series, we looked at the big theological picture, right? And today, as we continue, we want to get a bit more clinical, get a bit more surgical, right? A bit more narrow in our focus. James chapter 2 is where we've been looking at when we discuss faith and works. Today, we want to look at how he gives a startling reality check when he says that even the demons believe. So faith is a bit more than just an idea of belief. It's just an idea of saying, I know what I'm talking about. No, it's more than that. Even demons believe in God, and they even shudder. It's a convicting thought. If intellectual agreement isn't enough to save a fallen angel, why do we often think it's enough for us? Just because we profess a knowledge of Jesus, why do we think that's sufficient? Today we're dissecting the anatomy of true belief. We're looking at the massive gulf between a head full of religious facts and a heart transformed by a living God. So what's the missing ingredient that turns a mental yes into a life-changing amen? Join us as we consider the difference between faith in action and an intellectual assent to certain beliefs and doctrines. Mfundisi Msagwiza joins us to guide us. Pastor, good morning. Welcome.
It's a very good Tuesday morning, everyone. What a pleasure to be here as we dissect the anatomy of true belief. And thank you for having me. I am excited to share some thoughts and insights with our audience today.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. And thank you for being a part of this conversation. We appreciate you and welcome you. Fudisi, looking at this idea of dissecting this anatomy of true belief, James 2:18 will lead and say, show me your faith, a faith that's apart from works, and I'll show you my faith, a faith that can be defended, that can be proven by my works. How does this shift, this idea of paradigm movement from proclamation to demonstration, how important is this?
Yes. So you see now, James shifts the focus from mere proclamation of faith to demonstration through works. He says, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You know, so this emphasizes that truth faith is evidenced by actions, not just words.
Okay.
You know, I like how my favorite writer puts it in the Review and Herald of November 25, 1890, where she says that talking to people about God is nothing unless the love of God is in the heart.
Yeah.
And that love of God now is the one that constrains, is the ones that now works the beliefs, is the ones that proves and shows the belief over and above the words.
It's nothing.
That love of God in you is the impetus. It becomes the driving force now for you to do good things.
You might as well stop talking to people if you don't have the love of God, in other words. And I think that's very...
Exactly.
Very, I think I remember one book I read, or chapter of the book, which was saying love ought to be the abiding motive. That needs to be the driver. That needs to be the driver.
Exactly.
James continues to shock us one statement after another. He then adds to this already shocking statement of how faith can only be called faith if it's got backing works. In verse 19, he adds and says, even the demons believe and shudder. What does this tell us, Muruti, about the nature of true faith compared to just intellectual simple belief?
In verse 19, James highlights that even demons believe in God, but what they lack is a transformative relationship. You know, even the demons believe and shudder. I like the vision that says that. It says even the demons believe and shudder. So you see, Derek, true faith involves trust. It involves obedience and love, not just intellectual assent. You know, faith is not simply a theory. It is an active principle leading to the performance of works of love and even mercy. That's faith. Faith does not just put up a ladder. Faith climbs up the ladder. And that climbing up of the ladder is the works the works of goodness.
Yeah.
The works of the works that mimics the one to whom we are putting our faith in. You know.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we need that call, Mdala, to just remind that we need to be like somebody, and the one we ought to be like is our Father in heaven. Yeah.
Indeed. Indeed.
This knowing the right things, why is that knowing the right things about God is often insufficient if it does not lead to transformative life? I mean, I thought that, what does the English saying go? Knowledge is power. Why is it seeming like it's not applicable here?
Knowing the right things about God is insufficient. The word there, the key word is about. You know, if it wasn't there, then it would make all the difference.
Okay.
Because there's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God.
Mm.
So knowing the right things about God is just insufficient if it doesn't lead to a transformed life. You know, I like 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned.
Okay.
So, the mere theory of truth, unaccompanied by practical piety, will never lead to heaven. That's the review of the Herald of April 17, 7 of 1891. So mere theory is not, it has to be accompanied by practical piety.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's walking the talk that we spoke about yesterday.
Yes, yes, yes. And James calls someone a foolish person, right? When you look at verse 20, a foolish person for needing actually this explained. Why do you think exactly. He uses such strong language? I mean, surely he's an apostle. We thought he was here to teach.
It only becomes stronger. When the knife is the same, let me put it that way.
Okay.
When it only depends in whose hands it is in.
Mm.
You know, the knife in the hands of a butcher man is for killing, meat for eating.
Mm.
But the same knife in the hands of a surgeon is for saving life.
Yeah.
It's not for spilling life.
Yeah.
You know, so some of the words, especially when they're spoken by prophets, are not as when they're spoken by people who are fighting.
all right.
But they are for saving.
Mm.
It just depends in whose hands the knife is. Mm.
Mm. So here he's sometimes
you can hate the farmer when he trims trees and say that he is very, he is heartless when a farmer trims trees. But just wait a minute when those trees begin to bloom
and
give out fruit. That's when you see that he was using harsh words, similar harsh words.
Mm.
But his use of those similar harsh words was not for destroying, but it was for saving.
It was for saving. It was for saving and for bettering that which is needful, actually. So James is busy actually doing us good when he's telling us off, basically.
The Bible even says that he, not only are we given to teach, the words are not given only for teach, but even for what?
Mm-hmm.
Even for directing, even for condemning.
For rebuking,
in love, even for rebuking. Yeah. You know, look at the words that are used. Even for rebuking in love. Even for correcting.
Yeah. Same words.
And then when correcting, you need the rod and the staff. That's a lesson for another day. You don't correct with these. You don't correct with the soft things, but you need the rod and the staff for correcting.
May God help us. May God help us. Thank you so much for that, Mfundisi. Pastor, I wanna look at something that we kind of hinted as well as we introduced the conversation in the week. It's easy to think that because James is calling for works, we are now saved by works, right? A legalistic lifestyle. What is this work-driven life motivated by faith that James is talking about in this chapter? How does that look like, and how does it differ from a legalistic life where one tries to earn salvation by the things that they're doing?
Yeah, ensuring an active, loving relationship. Yeah, it's more of a relationship. Over and above actions, maybe I can say that I can moderate the question and answer the motive, and say that we can ensure our faith is active and love, a loving relationship by, you know, serving others in need. Mm-hmm. Impact Mozambique is beckoning.
Yeah.
It is beckoning. Yeah, it is beckoning. When we go there to save others in need, we are portraying our loving relationship. You know, we are letting our lights so light, so glow, that people may see the goodness in us. They can see the faith in us. And then who do they glorify? They glorify the Father in heaven. Mm. We are being requested to show our faith by obeying God's commands. You know, he says in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, over and above working our salvation, we are saying that we need to cultivate a personal relationship with God. You know, as Psalms 46:10 puts it, that be still and know that I am God. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
You know, my favorite writer encourages us in the Review and Herald of May 9, page, in 1893, that go to work, my brother, and let your light shine before men in some useful and practical way.
Yeah.
And that's imperative how. Simply say, go to work, my brother, let your light shine before men in some useful and practical way. You know,
go to work, you go know, to work,
and
my brother.
Yeah, just go to work, my brother. There's no negotiation there, it's just an imperative. Go to work, my brother.
Yeah.
What is Derek and Ipsakusa doing this morning? They are working, And what will be the fruitage of their working? They are letting their lights shine before men in some useful and practical way, and then people will be led from broadcast to baptism.
100%, 100%, amen. 100%. Thank you so much for putting
and that's the work, that's the working of faith.
And I think I want us to top that up as we conclude, Pastor, with the idea that you're raising, this idea of light so shining. The purpose of shining light is okay, yes, for your own benefit, but mostly it's for those around you. And that's where the context of this particular verse you're raising comes through, let your light shine. How can our actions be a witness to an unbelieving world, especially a world that sees Christians as hypocrites, that they claim to and then they don't actually do the thing that they're saying they must do?
Our actions can be a witness to an unbelieving world by demonstrating the transformative power of Christ's love. When the transformative power of Christ's love is demonstrated, then our actions would become a witness to an unbelieving world.
Okay.
Matthew 5:16 puts it this way. It says, in the same way, let your light shine before others. Ours is to let our light shine before others. That's what we should put our amount of energy on, letting our light shine.
Yeah.
Make sure continue putting firewood to our lights. Continue putting, not the firewood, of course, but letting the Holy Spirit fuel our lights. Let our lights continue to shine. And not under the bushels, but before others. So that they see, they will be able to see. You know, when Peter and Silas sing in the jail, the prisoners listen. They listen. You know, the flag that is Jesus, when it is risen up, people are drawn to him.
Amen.
So ours is to focus on letting our lights shine before others. And when you do that, they see the good works of us, and then they give praise, not to us, but to give God. Praise to the Father who is in heaven.
Yeah.
So that's when our actions now can become just a witness.
Mm.
And they speak louder than our words.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much, Muruti. I think that is a very, very good way to wrap up our lesson for today. Thank you once again for the sound. To which again tomorrow. God bless you.
The pleasure is mine always, Derek. Goodbye.
Thank you. Pastor Michael Musagweza joining us this week as we are looking at this very important subject, understanding the relationship between faith and works. And what a way to wrap it up. And I like how he emphasized then at the end there to say, this idea of letting your light shine, it's not making it shine, it's letting it shine. Allow the Holy Spirit to exude this light out of our lives because we are permitting him to do so. Today, what light are you going to allow to shine from your life on those around you?
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.